As we study the book of Daniel, this being our, I believe it's our 11th lesson, if I'm not mistaken. And today, with regard to that, I want to address the principles of computing prophetic times as we continue our study of the book of Daniel. There have been many ways put forth in computing the 70 weeks that is spoken of here in Daniel. We've seen already that there was three periods of time spoken of that were 70 years, and now Daniel's been given something referring to 70 weeks. And there's great diversity in these various methods used to try to figure out exactly what it is that the Holy Spirit is telling him. And yet, it's a cinch that God only said one thing by the angel Gabriel when he favored Daniel with this information. Differences of opinion exist, for example, where the reckoning begins that Gabriel was talking about, and where does it end? Is he speaking of actual weeks, or is he speaking of weeks of days or weeks of years? Is the prince Messiah or the beast that comes to exist during the tribulation period? Whatever the case, most any way you look at this except one, the 70 weeks are past. Say that again. Any way you look at it except one, the 70 weeks are already past. Others believe the 70 weeks are literal weeks of days and that they're all yet future. Most think all but one week is yet to be fulfilled. That's typical theology today in most churches, and maybe in most people's thinking, is that there's 1 week of tribulation left only. So, facing this, I don't know, monument of failure and contradictions, seems suicidal to get up here and teach on such. Yet, one cannot avoid this subject, and so we will press on, led by scripture principles, to conclusion of the matter, hopefully. So, some basic principles first of commuting prophecy. This is so important. You just have to understand this before you can come even close to the right decision. And by the way, the right decision gives us real insight into the book of Revelation and the end times. I remind you of 2 Timothy 3:16. You've read this verse many, many times. I want to go back and read it one more time. 2 Timothy 3:16. Let me read that to you. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It is therefore to be relied on for all dates and periods above all others. Scripture, I continue to stress, is accurate. We will see some of that accuracy today. And I repeat, you've heard me say there are only two real rules in study of the scripture. One, there are no contradictions in the original language of scripture. And two, when you find one, return to rule number one. The second basic principle is that computations arbitrarily chosen and then reckoning found, looking from that something that's arbitrarily chosen, working forward to Christ and then back to Adam, cannot be maintained. It doesn't work when you get down to begin to study the dates. I'm going to see why here in this hour. Principle number three, the use of lunar cycles, eclipses, and other astronomical methods based on guesses of the heavenly bodies must be avoided. You can't depend on that. Principle number four, when a king is stated to have begun to reign in a certain year for so many years, believe it. There's no question with regard to what the scripture is saying with regard to these kings. Principle number five, there's a difference between Anno Mundi and Anno Dio. Therefore, world history and datings as compared to God's time. For example, Jehoiakim, we've read about him as king, fourth year, and Nebuchadnezzar's first year are generally dated 605 BC in history, but when added up by scripture, it's really 496 BC. So you have to go by what scripture says. Sometimes you say, I can't figure this out. Just keep at it. You'll find out that it's true, that it's accurate. How can this be? How can you have such a disparity between 605 BC and 496 BC? Well, that takes in principle number six. There's a difference in ordinal numbers and a carnal number. There's a difference in ordinal numbers and carnal numbers. Remember, ordinal numbers express degree, like first, second, third, leaving the door open for more, fifth, sixth, seventh, 480th, whatever. Cardinal numbers express amounts like 1, 2, 3. Therefore, an ordinal number would be, for example, the 10th year of a larger number. So often now we find ordinal numbers used in Scripture when we find the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, the fourth year of Jehoiakim. You know, we've got to distinguish between what's being said there when you start trying to add up the weeks that Daniel's referring to. However, the most important principle, and this is principle number seven, is to understand that which deals with Loami, periods of Israel's history. For those who may not know the meaning of the term, it simply says and means, Loami means not my people. It comes from Hosea, first chapter of Hosea, if you'd like to go back and read something about that. Let me give you an example of a Loami example. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel will come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. 480 years. That is an ordinal number. Therefore, It's 480th, and it's got the 480th year of some larger period of time. Now go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Paul speaking in beginning in chapter 13, verse 16. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterwards, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, shall fulfill all my will. If you take what is written there, they came out of Egypt 40 years in the wilderness. Then he notifies us that there's 450 years that they spent under judges. Then 40 years King Saul reigned. And if you will go back to 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 11, you'll find that after Saul came David, and David reigned 40 years as well as Saul. And then comes Solomon after that, which we read there about Solomon started the temple in his after 3 years of being king. The two figures are therefore different. We have a difference of 480 years spoken of there in Kings, and 573 years Paul is giving us this discrepancy. There's a discrepancy of 93 years in the period of time that they're being talked about. So it needs explanation. Well, the first thing I want to point out is that the 480 years is an ordinal and not a cardinal number that we read there in Kings. This leaves room for the idea that this time is part of some larger period. So which is right? Is Paul right at 573 years, or is 480 years correct that the temple was built, started to be built? Well, the rule is when you find something like that, you got to study a little bit harder, because Scripture is always correct. The truth of the matter is both of these numbers are correct, 480 and 573, with one being an ordinal number and the other being a cardinal or a chronological number. So where's the 93-year different period of time? Well, go back to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3, verse 8. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushrish-Thanon, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. So put that 8 in your calculator. Go down to verse 14, beginning with verse 12. And the children of Israel did evil against the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek and went and smote Israel and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. Put that into your calculator. Turn over to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, when Ehud was dead. And the Lord said unto the hand of Jabin, king of Cana, that resigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Add the 20 years to these other two numbers. Turn over to Judges chapter 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Add that in. Turn over to Judges chapter 13, verse 1. Chapter 13, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Total that up on your calculator, and what do you have? 93. Add those 93 years to the ordinal number, which is 480, and it comes out to be exactly as Paul states in Acts, 573 chronicle years. Therefore, I think we can see here that the most important principle when computing prophetic time is that which allows for the non-reckoning of Lo-Ami periods. When the nation of Israel was Lo-Ami, God put them into slavery. They're not my people. I'm not doing anything for you. You're going to be in slavery. Those periods, that 93 years of time, cannot be attributed when you're counting up prophecy, the times given to prophecy. And this applies to both directions. You cannot allow a period of time to be excluded while Israel is a nation before God, and you cannot count a period of time when Israel is temporarily set aside. This then becomes the great key to understanding and computing prophetic times and God's plan for the ages. If you don't have this 93 years, you can't get to the truth. And this we shall find as we get to the 24th verse of chapter 9 of Daniel. compels us to include the Acts of the Apostles in the 70 weeks. Why? Because the kingdom was still being offered during that Acts period. And so you'll find that we can't start the 70 weeks when typically it's counted, because the nation did not have the temple. They were still in servitude. And this weeks that Daniel's talking about, the first 7 weeks of years cannot be, you can't start there. You got to start 49 years later. Okay? Also, it compels us to exclude the period when Jerusalem and the temple were still unbuilt in Nehemiah's day. Nehemiah gave him permission to go build the temple, but until that temple was built, now Nehemiah, if you remember, it only took him 52 days to build the walls. And remember, he had 40,000 men that he took down there to build the walls, and he had to fight and build at the same time. He built the walls in 52 days, but the temple wasn't dedicated until some 49 years. So those first periods of time cannot be counted in the prophetic clock. It is true that this has nothing to do with salvation. But unfortunately, there are few Christians that understand or care about any of these things. Understanding this, looking into this, has more to do with reward. Whatever the case may be, with this knowledge, we are finally ready to tackle the 70 weeks of Daniel beginning next week. However, let's take a quick peek ahead of time. Turn to Daniel now. We've been working up to get to this for the last couple of weeks, but this is preparatory understanding. Knowledge is necessary to go any further. The two verses I want to report on here, a read, we're going to take apart next week. Verse 20 for Daniel 9. Verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times. And we'll stop right there. But here is a blessed part of these verses in chapter 9. Two of the most interesting verses in all of Scripture. We're coming up on Christ's entrance into Jerusalem. We can read in Scripture that he arrived in Jerusalem in 29 AD on the 11th day of the month of Nisan. That is 62 weeks ordinal and 483 years cardinal from the very day, not month, year, week. He rode into Jerusalem on the 11th of Nisan. exactly as this scripture says. That's how accurate scripture is. 483 years prior to the Messiah's ride into Jerusalem is prophesied by Daniel through the Gabriel's vision that he gave to him. That's the day that Artaxerxes, king of Persia, gave the commandment to Nehemiah to build the city. Jesus, Messiah, the Prince, rides into Jerusalem on a colt, fulfilling the vision to Daniel by the angel Gabriel in 426 BC, before 29 AD, to the very day. This day, known to us as Palm Sunday, Jesus Christ, the Prince, weeps over the city of Jerusalem. What does this kind of information do for you? Well, as we read at the start, it makes you thoroughly furnished in a crooked and perverse world, to the point that your life in Christ becomes impervious to the fiery darts of the wicked one, thrown out there today, particularly by atheists, agnostics, woke satire, etc., what's taught in the universities, governments around the world. It adds credence to the scripture and gives to you a peace that passes understanding by understanding how important, how accurate, and what we can know with regard to scripture. Now, this will carry through in our study as we look at the next verses. We can begin to see the end times. How many of these weeks have it transpired? Ordinal. How many weeks are there left at the end? The traditional thinking is there's one, but I think the Berean way of looking at this will show that there are more than one week left. And it's especially important, I think, for the young people to see some of these things so that it adds credence to the scripture and strength to their faith, particularly as you go to some of these universities and they're teaching this stuff that has no truth whatsoever in it. Not, unfortunately, not one Christian in a million understands any of what we have looked at today. And like I say, does it have anything to do with your salvation? No. But it does have something to do with reward. And there are those who are rewarded in God's purpose and plan for the ages. And that happens to be those that are members of the church of the one body, which I think you all fall into that group with your understanding. So next week, we'll go a little bit further. I wanted to just take some time to explain the difference between ordinal and cardinal numbers, because it's so necessary to get to the truth. Now, having said this, can anybody nail down exactly the time frame? No, I don't think we can, but I think we can come a whole lot closer than what you think. And one of the reasons is that there's no temple. A temple has to be built. I've told you about the stone outfit in southern Indiana that's cutting stone for the temple. One of these days, they're going to build that temple. And when they do, when Israel rebuilds that, it's not going to be as a result of real Christianity. It's going to be another temple that's going to be destroyed. But it will tell you as we get closer and closer to that time, where we stand in Daniel's prophecy. And I can tell you this, we're closer today than we were yesterday. But you can look around and you can see the prophecy coming true, and it's going to be to the day. And only he knows for sure when that is. Why? Because there's another period of Lo-Ami that we stand in today. The nation of Israel is set aside. The prophetic clock that Daniel is talking about is stopped, dead. And until that clock starts again, and only the Lord knows when that's going to be, because there's a remnant of his people out there that are going to come into belief, and that again will start this clock of prophecy. So it's interesting stuff to know, and like I say, it adds credence to us. And so we'll continue with the next verses next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this written word. And I pray that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened. I pray that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may stand perfect and complete in the will of God, and that we might be filled with his righteousness. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.